Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello, welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we are back, and today we are joined by Colleen Christensen, who you might know from Instagram as @nofoodrules. There are dots in between all the words if you want to go look her up. Colleen is a registered dietitian known for giving realistic tips and the truth behind fads and diet fads. So, Colleen, welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, we really wanted to have you on because we thought it would be like such a great follow-up to last week's conversation where we talked about kind of the misconceptions with intuitive eating and how it definitely does not ignore nutrition, because a lot of people think like, oh, you just eat whatever you want and just it goes into that. It feeds, no pun intended, the idea of either you're dieting or you're not dieting, but there really is a place in between. And we said in that episode that they're actually, Sammy quoted your Instagram, but separately, we said that there are dietitians who don't really believe in diets. They're non-diet dietitians. And lo and behold, you are one of them.
<It's true.
laughs> So we thought this would be awesome. Let's talk about it. What does it mean to be a non-diet dietitian?
Yeah. So for me, being a non-diet dietitian, I mean, I think that means something different to everyone. And for me, it's being able to honor nutrition and your health, but finding that quote unquote balance that we're all looking for and not following any set rules or restrictions. And I think just bottom line, being flexible and not putting yourself into a category or putting yourself into a certain camp and feeling like you're kind of confined to that.
So I guess knowing that there's so many just dietitians out there with, I guess, kind of like different views and practices, what are people coming to you for typically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for a lot of people, it's for wanting to learn how to get rid of food rules and learn how to eat intuitively, yet still care for their health. I feel like that's the type of person that is really kind of drawn towards the work that I do, because I'm a dietitian and I do think that nutrition and food and the science behind it is fascinating. And I feel like a lot of times, especially on social media, you see the extremes. You see either people who are dieting, following these strict food rules, these strict plans, or you see this kind of image of intuitive eating that's so easily portrayed, where it's eat all the cookies, all the donuts. That's what intuitive eating is. But there's kind of this like middle ground that people are looking for. It's like, I don't want either of those extremes, but I still want to physically feel good during this process, but not feel that mental stress that, you know, all of those diets have given me. It's really, how do I find that balance where I'm not, you know, saying my weight is my worth or my body's my worth, yet I'm still honoring it, because we know that our health is important, right? We only have these one bodies, but not obsessing over it, being able to still live your life and enjoy the birthday cake, yet not have to feel that stress or anxiety.
So like when people come to you, what are you what are you practically, I guess, working on? Like, because there are so many obviously like misconceptions about what intuitive eating is. And like, let's say someone comes to you and they think that intuitive eating what they're currently experiencing with intuitive eating is just sort of like disregard for nutrition because that's what their body is telling them after, you know, coming off of years of diet culture. So what is the process like, but like from getting people to make that switch from like, this isn't just like pure indulgence all the time, but there's other elements of it that involve nutrition?
Yes, great question. So I think first and foremost, I mean, you've heard this a million times, both of you, that nutrition has to be put on the back burner. And I do think that's very true. In order to really approach essential nutrition without having that diety mindset, because it is tricky to start to implement when you have a history of viewing nutrition as a diety mindset, you really have to learn to A, nourish your body, get your hunger cues back, and make peace with food. That is, like, in my mind, like a prerequisite to implementing kind of this nutrition piece, because otherwise it's like your judgment is kind of clouded by what you think is healthy by diet culture. So really doing that piece first, and it's not always, I mean, the most fun thing to go through, like allowing yourself to get uncomfortable, you know, eating those foods, but it's such an important piece. So we really work to do that. And then I really believe that through that process and through lived experiences and actually understanding, okay, what makes my body feel good? Not, you know, that someone told me that this is quote unquote healthy for me, but what actually makes me feel good? I think that's really important and part of the process. So that's definitely something, like I said, first you have to put nutrition on the back burner. Then you have to really get in tune with, okay, this is my body. I'm starting to view all foods equally. And what actually makes me feel good? And kind of working from there and really honestly rethinking what you think healthy means. Because a lot of times what we think healthy is stemmed in what diet culture has wanted us to think.
What's
it is.
Low calorie, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that's not necessarily true. And I also think that it's really important to, during that phase, let's say you have put nutrition on the back burner, you've made peace with food, you're implementing this gentle nutrition, to really start basic. And that's not really a sexy topic. I mean, I'm thinking like very basic things like making sure you have carbs and the veggies and fat and protein, all of those things. When people think nutrition, they think of very complex things or like supplements, or I have to go to the health food store, when it's like you have to just kind of ease into it. Just like you kind of were working through breaking your food rules and making peace with food, it's an entire process. And it's something that you really, again, do have to learn based on your body, because it's not something you can just like turn on.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. For me, the way that I approach like or integrate nutrition into now my intuitive eating is that I try to have like more of a balanced meal. But if I don't want that, like if I like kind of pause for a second and be like, why am I adding chicken if I really don't want it, then I won't eat it. And then it's just like I look at it without judgment. It's not obsessive. But if I kind of want it, then and I'm in the mood for like protein, or if I know that if I have protein, I will be less hungry in the next, it'll take me longer to be hungry. Mm-hmm. So then I'll just eat it. So it's kind of, and even the other day, this is going to be, I went, but I'm going to do it now because it applies. It was that like one night I didn't want to order dinner. It was the weirdest thing. I wanted to make it weirdest thing. And I didn't go grocery shopping, and I had all this pasta, and I was like, I didn't have like regular pasta in my house, and I ended up just being like, fuck this. I don't even want it. I think I'm trying to make myself eat pasta because I think it's the opposite. I think I'm trying to rebel against the nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I ended up really just wanting to like, I made an egg and I made myself a shakshuka, which I've never done in my entire life.
Oh God.
And it was so satisfying, and I ate a piece of bread with it. So it ended up being balanced, but in a different way. And it was really like kind of listening to myself.
I think one thing you said about I felt like I was rebelling against food. So many people, or against diet culture, so many people get caught in that phase because I think it really is a lot influenced by what we see on social media and what we perceive intuitive eating to be. And sometimes we can get caught in this phase. And also the fact that it's scary implementing nutrition, because you feel like you've made a lot of this progress forward to be like, I can eat this and that's totally fine. And then you get to this point where you're like, okay, you know, I kind of want to think about this. And it's just like, all of a sudden we kind of like rebel. It's kind of, again, looking at those things and like, I'm in this camp or I'm in this camp, because we like that. We like having more of these guidelines and saying, kind of like putting ourselves into these buckets.
Well, like, how do you, so in that case, like, how do you know when you're ready to sort of like implement like gentle nutrition? Because I just want to actually go back to something I said last week. I want to correct something I said, because I said that it only took me like 2 months to stop binging. And I think that that was like a false promise almost, because like first, like, I, you could argue that my intuitive eating journey is like really a course of like 2 years. Also, like, I don't want to put a timeline on it for anybody because it's that, that's, I think that that was like a bad thing that I said, but how do you, but I will say that I do feel a little bit more ready to, mm-hmm. you know, willingly implement foods that I maybe thought like, ugh, like I don't, that's diety.
Yes.
So how do you know when like you're ready to do that versus like you're just trying to like ward off the weight gain that you're mm-hmm. that you're secretly or not even so secretly still afraid of?
Yes. So I think it's important to say, okay, how do I feel about, let's take like that bean pasta, for instance, how do I feel about a pasta that maybe has more protein, more fiber in it versus just like a regular old, you know, white pasta? Do I feel that either of those has, you know, moral value, or I'm better for eating one or the other, or I'm right for eating one or the other, whether it's you think that the white pasta is the right intuitive eating choice, or you feel that the bean pasta is the right, quote unquote, healthy choice. So really making sure that, okay, these foods are fine. Then what I say is when you are implementing gentle nutrition, you want to start slow. So pick just kind of one thing that you feel is truly like equal, like those. Let's say you feel totally fine. I don't have a draw towards either of them. Then I say do everything through a lens of experimentation. Just kind of act like you're a scientist observing. So what does a meal where I have the white pasta, what does that feel like? Does it feel, you know, how satisfying is it? Do I enjoy it? And then maybe compare and contrast it with the time when you have the bean pasta or a quote unquote healthy option that diet culture kind of has deemed that way. And really let yourself make that call. You know, what is more satisfying to me? Because we know that satisfaction is super important. You can eat all of the quote unquote superfoods that you want, but if it's not satisfying to you, you're still going to be left looking for something else. So I always say kind of view it through that lens of experimentation. And then if you, I always say this, there's a difference between a food rule and a food preference. So a food rule is kind of saying, okay, I have these two options available and I am going to choose the bean pasta. Would I feel guilt, stress, or anxiety if I were to have chosen the white pasta? That likely might signal that, okay, maybe I'm not ready for gentle nutrition and I'm not actually seeing these foods equally. But if you're like, yeah, that, you know, had some extra protein and fiber and it allowed me to feel full longer so I can focus on work and, you know, spending time with my friends, my family. But if I would have had, you know, just the white pasta, no big deal. It'd be fine. I think viewing it in that way and kind of asking yourself those questions. And I really think being honest with yourself, like it's so easy for us to lie to ourselves and be like, oh no, I'd be fine. But it really takes just, okay, let me be real, raw, and honest with yourself and answering those questions.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I have a question because, like, it is so easy to lie to yourself. Mm-hmm. How do you know when you're not lying to yourself? Something I've noticed is that like my preferences for food have become like much less strong. Like mm-hmm. I don't dislike as many foods as strongly as I did before, and I don't love them as much as I did before. And like, I've even noticed that, like, for example, I say, oh, I would love like a cookie. Mm-hmm. I don't actually like the entire cookie. I like the gooey center. I actually don't really like the outer edges. It's like, I feel like I've become much more like, okay, I like it, but like not as much as I used to. Like, I used to be obsessed. Like, I used to talk about, like, I need cake. Like, I actually like don't feel like I need it as much anymore. Like, is that how you know that you are like getting there?
Yeah, it could be. And I think there's so many questions to ask yourself. Like, so say someone randomly came by with like, or it was a birthday party or something. And sometimes I do feel like if you're not sure, put yourself in those situations where you would have a cookie or you would have a cake, and then you truly can understand how you feel. Sometimes I feel like we get so scared of making the quote unquote wrong decision. But like I said, sometimes those learned experiences and being able to eat something and be like, you know what, that didn't feel super great, or that did feel super great. That's how we know. And I think that's how kind of those true, okay, am I ready for this? You know, what is my actual preference? Sometimes like putting yourself in a situation of having both or having what you think you might not be wanting, if that makes sense, to kind of gain some clarity on that.
And also just to add to what you were saying about like how you're not ready, maybe sometimes you are, sometimes at one point you are ready and and one point you aren't. I think it like changes daily almost.
Oh, totally.
Like one day you feel kind of ready and one day you feel very not ready. and it like, I found that not judging myself for that and then realizing, wait, no, I really am like if it was a day where I was avoiding the white regular pasta because I'm afraid of gaining weight or whatever it means, the value associated. But some days it feels kind of neutral. It really just depends. Mm-hmm. And then you, like you said, it's based on experience. You let yourself have that regular pasta and you say, oh, did I really want this? I don't know. And then you move forward.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people think that gentle nutrition is like a phase you get to, but in reality, there's no bumper sticker for reaching that. It's not an end goal. It's not a finish line. And it's something that's going to ebb and flow. I mean, let's take, 2020, for example. I mean, COVID hit, and for some people, maybe those food rules kind of started to creep back in. And it was kind of like, okay, I need to step back and really just work on, again, improving my relationship with food. And like you said, that can vary from day to day. And I mean, different phases in our life, but it's not a thing where it's like, okay, I reached gentle nutrition. I'm here now. I'm done. I have the bumper sticker for it. It's kind of like, you have to really just kind of take the temperature of what you're feeling in the moment.
And the experiences like teach you what you actually like. What I found, or maybe this is my non-scale win, is that like even today I was like to my husband, I was like, you know what I realized? I love to have something sweet for breakfast. Like, and he's like, no shit. Like, that's why they have pancakes. And I'm like, yeah, but I never thought that I could have pancakes for breakfast. It was always a treat. I never realized that I actually like something sweet, like just something sweet, like jam and toast or something like that. And it was such an interesting revelation because it's kind of so stupid if you think about it. But it's like, let's say if I were to go back, I kind of traveled back in my mind to times that I have worked with a dietitian and they're like, what do you like to eat? And I'd be like, I don't know. Here's a list of things that I eat, like chocolate. I always say chocolate, but like, no, because chocolate is a complex interest. But it was an interesting revelation because I was like, now I know how to prioritize my foods, but I just kind of on that note, in me traveling back to being a dietitian, what led you to becoming a dietitian and becoming a non-diet dietitian? Because I feel like that's kind of a new territory these days.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So for me, I became a dietitian. I feel like everyone has these stories of became a dietitian for XYZ reason. I have like no specific reason besides the fact that I knew I didn't want to like sit in an office all day. I didn't want to work with, you know, a calculator, even though dietitians do a lot of math. I didn't want to do like anything super, businessy or officey. And my mom randomly suggested this. I'm like, yeah, I like food. I like eating. Let's do it. So I kind of like, I feel like kind of
that
fell
is like
into
no
this.
One's story. Everyone else's story is like, I struggled with XYZ and then this. Yeah.
So I kind of decided on that, went to college, you know, it was all great for the first year. And then that's when I started to personally struggle. So it was after I had decided that I didn't really struggle before starting to study this stuff. And I don't know if that was just a coping mechanism that came out, if it was because I was surrounding myself with the topic so much, but regardless, it happened. And I kind of became obsessed with food, and I became obsessed with controlling my food. And as schooling got harder, the further I went along with it, the more I used that as a coping skill. And I severely restricted my food. I felt, you know, I was avoiding social situations because of it. My life was like, I feel like this is kind of like an extreme example, but like crashing down around me, like it was all consuming. And it took me working through that obviously find this balance. But it's funny because I always, when I was closer, you know, 5 years ago, when I was more kind of new to this freedom aspect of nutrition, I was like, that's never going to be my path. Like that just feels a little too close to home. But as I started to, go further along in my career, I realized like, I need to be the person that I didn't have, because this was not really being talked about back then, kind of this like food obsession and wanting to just find this balance. So as I started to, you know, get more comfortable in what freedom meant to me and how you can kind of have a life where you're not obsessed about it, yet you're still caring for your health, I realized, you know, I just need to be the person that I didn't have so that it doesn't take someone as long. They don't have to struggle. It's just kind of, like I said, I never thought I'd be in this position for my career, but it feels very natural.
What do you think in your studying of nutrition made you get so kind of obsessed with the controlling aspect of it?
Yeah, I think it was my perfectionistic tendencies coming out. Like I've always struggled with not feeling like I'm good enough, like not feeling like, I'm a perfectionist. And for me, that was like, oh, I could be good at this. Like, this is something that I could, you know, stand out for. And I never like had the best grades. I was never the best athlete. I was never the best at anything. But then I was like, oh, this is something that like, I started to get attention for, like, oh, she's the healthy eater, or she's, you know, the one who, you know, it became my identity.
It was your shtick. Yeah.
It's very attractive to perfectionists, because there are a ton of metrics that you can use to validate yourself. It's not just like calorie deficit. It's the scale. It's how long did you work out for? It's your macros. It's your percentage of body fat.
And it's your everyday choices in front of people. Mm-hmm. It's every day you have to eat food, and the choices you make, continue to add values to those choices, which then you say I'm good or bad. And every time you're good, you become better and better and better.
Yeah. There are a lot of checkpoints that you get to help enforce your behaviors. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so kind of along that road, like I had this phase of where I was super restrictive. I was super in control, but then I swung to the other end of the spectrum and I was super out of control. Like I had no control around my food. And I think that was just, going from one extreme to the other, that I know a lot of people, that is yo-yo dieting, right? That's we're going from one extreme to the other. And that was tough. So like, I can understand, both of those, like feeling in control, it, you know, is just something that, like you said, perfectionists are very drawn towards. But then when I swung to that other end of the spectrum, it shook me to my core. Cause I was like, this is so like not what I am used to. This is not what I'm comfortable with. And then it was a long road, a lot of work to kind of find this point. And this was way before intuitive eating was a thing. Like I literally stumbled upon the book randomly, but the intuitive eating movement now just makes me so excited, because I'm like, it's so much more like, people at least have heard of the book now, or have heard of the philosophy behind it. And I just think, just comparing how far it's come in the last 5-6 years is just crazy. It's exciting.
Yeah, it really is exciting. It's exciting to see it in people who've never like been dieters ever. Mm-hmm. And to see like, oh wow, like to notice points that aren't things people say or you see it on Instagram, notice when something is kind of the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's to me is exciting, because that's like a tiny, tiny, tiny signal of positive change.
Yes, totally.
So at this point, would you ever treat or like recommend weight loss for any of your clients?
Yeah. So I always say I view everything through a weight neutral lens. So, anything that happens to your body, if you're listening to it and you're honoring it, that could mean that you gain weight through this process. It could mean that you lose weight, and it could mean that you maintain weight. So I don't think that weight loss in itself, sometimes when you work towards your set point weight, that's naturally what's going to happen. But there's other people who are going to gain and some people who are going to maintain. So I think honestly, that's, I mean, one of the hardest things about this is I don't know what's going to happen to my body, and I need to learn to accept that. And I think that is part of what has to obviously come before you enter gentle nutrition, because if you don't try to make peace with that, saying, you know what, I might gain, lose, or maintain, then you're always going to have this little kind of cloud over your head and those shoulds in the back of your mind, or this goal that you're trying to work towards when, like I said, there's no end point in this. There's no, you know, I think that's why we're drawn towards diets too. Like as humans, we like challenges, we like checkpoints. But with this, it's kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the checkpoints are. I don't know if there are checkpoints, but I need to just kind of sit with that and be okay with it.
So like if someone comes to you and they are, maybe they haven't like yet reached the point where they mm-hmm. are like ready to like approach nutrition without judgment to be able to basically like follow, I guess, like what you're teaching. What do you do if someone is still like trying to kind of use this to lose weight?
Mm-hmm. I think that there's, especially with social media, there's a lot of kind of like, I don't know, claws kind of come out and says people are bad for wanting weight loss. I think that is a natural thing that we have been taught by diet culture. So I never look down or judge anyone if they are saying to me, you know, I want to lose weight. I do say, you know what, I don't work with the intent of weight loss. So I really think that let's explore this a little bit more. I'm proud of you for learning about this in the first place. Let's take that and explore it more and say, what is the set point weight theory? What, you know, does body neutrality look like? Let's kind of dig into that more. And I always say it's okay to dip your toes into this area. If you're still not sure if it's right for you, that's okay. Grab yourself the book and read it and see what you think. I think that a lot of times people think that, okay, in order for me to start this journey, I have to be totally cool with my body, totally fine with it. And that's just like, if we waited to that point, we'd never get there. But if you just say, what is one thing that I could educate myself on about it today? Like I said, is it listening to a podcast? Is it, you know, getting a book and reading through it? Is it, you know, following certain hashtags on Instagram? Let me kind of sit with my discomfort and dig into that more and say, why do I feel that this would validate me? Or what are the reasons that I'm tied to this or that I'm drawn towards this, and let me see if those reasons are true.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker, and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
What about sort of the process of like decoupling like one's association between healthy habits that like are healthy because they're just inherently healthy, like going for a walk mm-hmm. versus like the like automatic association we formed with weight loss. Like I've said this as like my own example. Like I have a really hard time exercising or even getting myself to like move because in my head before, like the only reason that like movement like the only reason I could like get myself to do it, like that made it worth it, quote unquote, for me was because I was like, oh, I'll burn calories or like I'll get more steps. And like what I've now realized is that that made me associate walking solely for the purpose of like getting smaller. And that's obviously like not, I don't think that that serves me because like I shouldn't feel like I'm only doing this to like burn calories and like there's no point otherwise. Like, how do you decouple those things in your head? Like eating a salad doesn't have to be to get smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that goes back to really doing that work at first to kind of like try to see all things neutrally. And then if you do have that, okay, you know, I know that walking is, you know, something that I've enjoyed in the past. It's something that's, you know, good for my health, but am I feeling that, you know, morality there? Am I feeling like I would be good for doing this? And then I think if the answer is yes, like you're kind of turning exercise or eating a salad into a food rule, I say do the opposite. And that kind of, like I said, signals a food rule. So I say break that and then see how you feel. Have that lived experience of this is what this feels like. Is this something that I enjoy? Then maybe, you know, the next day you try the next and you say, okay, what did I enjoy or what was satisfying to me or what felt good? And then just kind of allowing yourself to, I almost always say like fall quote unquote flat on your face and maybe do things that don't feel good. And then that's how you make those connections. So you understand I'm doing this for XYZ reason because it feels good to me, not because I've been told or I think I should. And I think that's where you kind of find that middle ground. It's a lot of experimentation.
I also think it could happen in like both at the same time. Like for me, I feel like I'm in the middle and like, I like going on the Peloton. I like exercise. Before I used to do it entirely to burn calories. Now I feel like I'm kind of in the middle. Like I know my intention is good. Like I'll go on the bike because I want to move. I hide the calorie counter. Yeah. I have my Apple Watch. I'll sometimes look at the end, but I won't, it's not really, the reason why I went on, but then I'll notice like always when I'm in the shower after or drying my hair, I'll be like, okay, 200 calories. What did that burn off? So, but then I notice it and I'm like, okay, you had that thought. That seems like it's like a latent thought that's just coming through your mind. But I just remember that the reason why I went on the Peloton was because I wanted to move and I felt good while I was on it. I did my wooing again and it was good. Even though that I also still had that burning calorie. Oh, I burned my chocolate croissant. That was really delicious this morning. But you know, I had the same thought process. So I think it's just like, you know, you're further along.
I've been trying to like do things that I never did for weight loss.
Yes. Yes.
Like I bought a jump rope. And I've never once in my life jumped rope as a means of weight loss. And then I just like started jump roping. And now I'm like, oh, it's like a little burst of energy in the morning. And I'm trying to be like, to not tell myself because I'm doing it for so short that it can't possibly make a dent in anything that like, what but like dent? 5 minutes of jumping rope really gets your heart going.
Hard, yeah.
And like, it's hard. And so I'm trying to just be like, this is a fun thing I can do for like 5 minutes in the morning to like wake me up that it's not gonna, like, I can't possibly think that this will make any sort of move, like movement on the scale, but it does like have a good feeling to it. So I'm trying to like associate endorphins with like a positive feeling that is not going to make me smaller.
Yes, exactly. And the more that you keep doing that, I think that can be associated with like food and nutrition too. Like try things in a different way than you used to when you were in the dieting mindset.
Well, I started incorporating salad dressings, like actual salad dressings that are not like olive oil and vinegar.
That's a big one.
And I've also started putting having sweet coffees in the morning. Yes. Because no sugar, no sweetener. It makes you tricks your body, makes you think you're eating sweets. Like such bullshit. Diet Coke. I'm like, I don't have to, I can have the all healthy Diet Coke now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, with the jumping rope, I mean, try different things. Just think outside of the box. Think outside what you normally do. And the more that you do that, something that doesn't maybe necessarily have so much of a stimulus towards diet culture associated with that, then you're able to start to make those connections. Like, I like moving my body in this way because of how I feel. And then it doesn't mean that you're never going to walk, you know, take walks again for enjoyment, but it just means that you're kind of taking a break from that. And, you know, maybe down the line, you'll see it through a different lens. But I think that that's huge too. And like I said, can be associated with kind of like food, fruits, try different ones, try them in different forms, see what feels good.
Right.
Salad dressing is really one of the first things that I did. Was
salad
I
dressing makes salad so good.
I bought buying like full fat balsamic vinaigrette is something I've never done. And I chose which one's one of my favorites, and it really makes you want a salad. It's very interesting.
Ken's Italian.
Right. It's crazy that
I used to make Italian with the cheese.
It's insane that this whole time, like, we were taught that salads are just about filling you up with as much like water-based vegetables as possible and then making it taste as good as you can without adding calories to it, because that quote unquote ruins. But you're still getting the truth is, even if you put salad dressing on, full fat, whatever it is, you're still getting the nutrients of the contents of the salad. You're just having more calories, which is just energy.
I think it's because a lot of people are eating salads with the intention of having a low calorie meal, not because they want nutrition.
Salads are so good when they're not low calorie.
Well, I remember being I remember being on a Sweet Green Line or something, and like when I was really, really deep in it, and like just looking at people being like, oh my God, she's adding almonds. Yes. Like, oh my God, she's adding those crunches. Oh my God, like medium to high dressing. Or she at the highest one? And I obsessively look at like the menu to see how many calories are in that dressing. And I was like, I can't even imagine myself doing that.
And it's like, why would you do that? You're at Sweet Green.
You're having a salad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So it's just interesting to be on the other side of it. But that said, since your Instagram is no food rules, what are some like food rules that you would say are that we wouldn't really realize are rules?
Yeah. And I feel like, honestly, this has came up so much just in like the past couple of weeks. Like, people have told me, I don't have food rules. Like, let's just start with a gentle nutrition phase. I'm like, okay, let's like slow down here. So I think that if food rules go beyond what you allow yourself to eat and what you don't allow yourself to eat, it can be the emotional attachment or any feelings that you have towards the food. Like, I feel guilty after I eat cake. I allow myself to eat the cake, but I, you know, feel guilty about doing that. Or I go to a restaurant and I allow myself to order the creamy pasta, but I feel like I should have ordered the salad. I think that that's a really sneaky food rule that a lot of people don't, just kind of like shooting ourselves. Like, I feel like this is what I should do. It's having, when you don't see the foods as equal. I'm not saying, obviously, I know it's not nutritionally equal. I mean, I always say some foods feed our souls and our emotions more than the nutrition for our bodies, but those are still very important. So I think that feeling like those things of guilt or stress or shame or shoulding is a very sneaky food rule that a lot of people don't think about.
Right. I also think about random, like, I think there's a lot of timing rules that people have.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I wake up and I have a water. I wouldn't eat. Mm-hmm. I only eat savory in the morning. Like, or I always have like this, my coffee this way. Like, and you think like, oh, it's because I like it. But then once you actually have something different than what you're used to, you're like, oh, this was actually interesting too. Like, I don't have to like have everything set and like know what's to come.
Yes. I should only one tablespoon of peanut butter, not the two. Yeah, right. That's one of my big ones.
And I think that when you are in the process of making peace with food and you're breaking your food rules, if there's something that you typically do, like I said, I think you need to almost like put yourself in a situation where you have something else. Like, if it's, I always choose almond milk creamer because that's what I like. Well, maybe let's buy, you know, a different type of creamer and see what you really like. Maybe you do like the almond milk creamer. There's nothing inherently wrong about that, but let's not let it come from a diet culture standpoint. Let's let it come from a you standpoint, so you understand what's satisfying and what you actually like. And that can be kind of like, I don't know, it can be daunting to a lot of people to go through that phase, but I say try to view it as exciting. Let's learn what we like again, because you might come across something that you're like, wow, this is mind blowing. I love this. It's so much more satisfying. But it can be also kind of sad when you go through that and you're like, I've been tricking myself this long that I thought I liked this and I didn't. It's a process.
Yeah. Tricking yourself is.
Sammy, remember when we were talking about like the process of going out to eat and like exploring the menu from a different lens of like non-diet lens? Like Sammy texted me and she was like, I'm going to this restaurant. We've been to before. And she's like, I'm so excited to like, look at the menu from not a perspective of like, I must order like the least caloric thing on the menu. And then we got into a conversation about like leaving the restaurant, the experience of being done and being in like the Uber or on your walk home. And you're like, you feel a sense of happiness because you ate a low carb meal. Like this feeling of success, like, oh my God, like
I made it through the meal.
I made it through. I only had one piece of the thing from the bread basket. I got like cucumbers for the guac and I said, no, I got a tequila soda and I said no to the dessert. Like, and I barely touched the side that was on, you know, like those types of success, those, the times when you followed the rules and it's like, and then you're like, yes, I did it.
It makes the meal stressful because the whole time you're you don't even realize that you're not actually engaged in the experience, because what is in back of your head is like, I can't another chip. I'm trying to not dip another chip, like hold my hand back because I don't want another one. But then it's like
pushing it away.
Yeah. Pushing it away. But then what I realized when we went to that restaurant was that like technically we ordered the exact same items that I would have ordered on a diet. The only difference was like, oh, I'm gonna avoid the taco bread. I'll fork the contents of the taco into my mouth instead of just like eating the fucking taco. Like, but the taco is what makes it so good. Yes. And then what I actually noticed is like something that like in the past, if there was like something good in diet, if there was like a vegetable on a table, I was like not gonna like let the server clear the unfinished vegetables because like those are no calories. So like I have to have that, or like low calories. Now I'm okay leaving a little bit of bread, a little bit of vegetable, a little bit of meat, because like I don't have to make sure all the vegetables are gone first. Another thing is that I used whenever I would have like let's say a plate, I would always save the thing I like the most for last because like, let's have like the healthiest things first so that I can fill up on them. And maybe I won't want the whole unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
I've started going in the opposite direction because why would I not want the thing that I want the most first? And then if I don't want the thing that I don't want the most, why wouldn't I just leave it over?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that that's something that's, again, another sneaky food rule that we might not necessarily think of a food, because you're still eating, you know, the food. It's just this process that you go through. And I always say there's a difference between physically filling your stomach with those veggies and being satisfied. Yes. So you can eat all of the lettuce or those bland salads that have no actual sustenance to them that we talked about and have a full to the max stomach, but yet still be looking for something to hit the spot because you're not getting that satisfaction piece. Versus if you have, you know, whatever part of the meal that you're looking forward to most, maybe that is going to help with that satisfaction and not leave you feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortably stuffed because I forced myself to eat all of the veggies or whatever it was.
And not making you continue to pick through, like Sammy, like with your taco example, if you ate that one taco and you enjoyed it, maybe you had two tacos, you would have actually netted out less than had you eaten the whole plate of meat.
Yeah, I actually do think that is what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, oh, I always have to net out less, but
no,
like,
but I mean, in general, like, you know, if that's somebody's goal is, oh, but you're going to eat the taco, you're going to gain weight. Well, technically if you want to go by what you're saying, how all you need is a calorie deficit and all it is less. Well, technically maybe I would eat less if I ate what I wanted.
Yes. Right.
Own your food choices.
Own it. Yeah. Own it, Lisa Rinna.
With the calorie deficit, what I find is that like the reason the calorie deficit only works when you have the quote unquote click, as my mother says, is because when you're trying so hard to maintain the calorie deficit, you're eating so many things that are fewer calories, but you never actually are happy. But, and so that just leads to more. So maybe you're eating like, maybe you're never having like something high in caloric density. So most of the time you're eating in a calorie deficit, but then that time when you're like, fuck it, I can't anymore. That one moment where you switch, you ultimately are netting out probably more than before. But if you're just sort of like, if always it's like, okay, I can have whatever, it like spreads itself out almost, the intake.
Yes, I relate to that so much. I mean, especially with, I mean, having like a pie or like a cake or something. Like I remember just going back for a little sliver. Had I just freaking owned my food choice and been like, I'm eating this brownie, I'm eating this piece of cake. Like, A, it's way more satisfying because you don't have that like sneakiness to you that you're like, oh, you know, I'm tricking people. Enjoy the cake. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, and again, it's not about like out netting anything, but it's like that satisfying piece. And it's just kind of a little trick that our mind plays on. It's all a mind game.
Okay, should we do some non-scale wins? Should we read an audience one and then do our own?
Let's do it.
Okay. Sammy and Aileen, OG fangirl from Australia right here. You guys are truly the best. So she's going to get this a few hours ahead of when everyone else will.
She's in the future.
You're the first to hear it. Betch from Down Under. I am a couple months out from my 30th birthday, and a lot of my friends have made it their goal to be in the best shape of their life by their 30th. I too had the same goal, but upon listening to your intuitive eating episodes, I knew that it was all that it was also the right path for me. I bought the book and the workbook, and about 3 weeks into the journey, I literally could not be bothered to go on another diet, and it became laughable when I would say to myself, okay, I'll just cut out dairy, gluten, meat, and sugar until I'm 30. Like, what? Then what? That was literally why I couldn't do the wedding diet. Like, I just could not do it. Okay. Anyway, to my actually non-scale win. My groceries weren't being delivered until today, so last night I decided to get my favorite takeaway Italian. Normally, I go all out and binge everything. Rigatoni, bread, cheese, tiramisu, not a green in sight. Last night, I took the time to lay out everything on plates, eat slowly, and savor all the delicious flavors. I noticed I was full, so put everything back in the containers and then had the rest for brekkie today. Not only did I get two meals out of the food, I felt satisfied and happy each time, not guilty, sick, or full. P.S. I also signed up for a canyoning adventure today, and we had to put our height and weight down so they can fit you for wetsuits. At first, I was mortified and nearly didn't sign up, but then I thought how you both talked about how we spend so much of our lives waiting to be a certain weight to do the things we actually want to do, that I clicked pay now, and I am all signed up. Yes, XXX, Betch from Down Under.
That's great. So many wins in one message.
You know what's so funny about how she split up the thing into two meals? I can't tell you the amount of times when I've ordered a big seamless order. I'm like, oh, I'll split it into two meals. But then because I was like in binge mode, it would only make it for one meal.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's that mental restriction. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like I'd be afraid that I wouldn't be able to have it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, Colleen, what's your win?
Yeah. So I think last night is my win. So my husband started this thing where he wants to cook dinner every Wednesday. And usually it's just like spaghetti and meat sauce, which is delicious. I love it. But last night he decided to get fancy and he made homemade Alfredo. And so I just let him do his thing in the kitchen. He was listening to like some jazz music as he was playing. I was like, okay, you do you. That's fine. So I'm downstairs. And then I go upstairs. It was delicious. We eat it. It was super creamy, super thick. And then I was putting some of the leftovers away and I look in the fridge, like the whole thing of heavy whipping cream is gone. Like the Parmesan cheese is like gone. I mean, I was like, oh my, he used so much in there, but it was just like, it was delicious. It was fine. Like there was no stress over it. And I think that was just an example of, yeah, sometimes nutrition is going to go by the wayside. And that just fed my soul. It fed my relationship and it was fine. You know, I listened to my hunger and fullness. I enjoyed it. I was satisfied and it was good.
Yum. That sounds great.
Alfredo is definitely one of those things you avoid, actually. Mm-hmm. Speaking of food rules.
It's one of those things that moms taught you because like in the 90s, fat was the devil. So having like a fatty pasta was like fat and carbs. It was like the worst thing you could have.
But that sounds very good.
It does. Yes. I would love a fatty pasta.
Years ago, I would have like tried to like micromanage it and be like, oh, let's try to make like this healthy swap or let me see the ingredients first. But I was like, dude. Do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, let's use cauliflower. Mm-hmm. No. That's funny because Jordana used to always get Alfredo pasta anywhere we went. Jordana's our third co-founder. Mm-hmm. And I would always look at her like, how?
Because that was her one big meal of the day.
No, she would always go. No, this was back in the day. She would always have to choose the Alfredo. When I'm
Jordana's an intuitive eater. Like, Jordana does not live with food rules. That, like, truthfully, she doesn't. Like, she has whatever she wants.
She's probably hanging out with me her whole life. She got some food rules, but yeah. Probably. Sammy, what's your win?
So I learned what thirst feels like this week, which is like, which was actually like really new for me, because think about like all the times when like diet tips are like, think you're hungry, try having some water first to see if you're just thirsty. Okay. So that completely like totally robbed me of any sense of like what it actually feels like to be thirsty outside of just being like insanely hungover and like needing water. But like thirst is a much more subtle thing that pops up. And I feel like I actually kind of know what it feels like as a signal. And it doesn't feel anything like hunger. So I don't know what anyone was talking about that whole time.
That's so funny.
So that's my win.
This happens very rarely, but whenever water just kind of hits the spot, it's really just the most satisfying thing. Like one time I have this water bottle that I drink from so I can get as much water as I can through the day. And the more you drink, the more thirsty you are. But I remember just texting Rusty and he's at work and I'm like, you know, water just really hits the spot. It's so good. I love like when it's so cold, he's like, I'm at work. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Sometimes it is. I mean, Avi loves water. Like sometimes it does hit the spot when you're thirsty.
Well, it's our next limited resource. So
yeah,
drink up. Okay.
My win.
I feel like I've said 700 wins this episode, but I've discovered that I really like chocolate croissants. That's really. Ooh. Oh no, my real win is that I really like a sweet breakfast or something sweet like toast with a little butter and some jam. And I also discovered that I love the taste of anything that is cherry flavored. I bought this like Bon Maman cherry, and I was like, this shit is good. I tried also Ben and Jerry's like Cherry Garcia, which I've never bought in my entire life.
Such a good flavor. So and I don't even like fruit in my desserts usually. But yeah, so Cherry Garcia is very good.
Cherries were where it's at.
So speaking of that, something else I did learn is that I love gummy candies. Like I love Swedish Fish. I love Dots, Jujubes. But I don't like when they're covered in sugar and sour taste.
Oh, like Sour Patch.
Yeah, like I don't like Sour Patch or like the when they put sugar on it, like as the but I like pure gummy. So good.
I don't think I do.
You could try some and see. Yeah. It really depends. It actually depends because it's not actually like gummy bears. It's more like the chewier kind.
You know, it's actually interesting. The reason why I think I don't like them is because when I was younger, I always went for the chocolate because I knew that like I wouldn't be able to have other candy. Well, that's I wouldn't why have this chocolate later.
That's why this is a win for me because I did the same because I would always choose chocolate because it was like chocolate or gummies. Like I like chocolate more. Now I realize like I could have either.
Yeah. It's a food rule of restriction.
Right. Right. Maybe sometimes I actually prefer the gummies to the chocolate.
Okay. Now, have you ever had a chocolate covered gummy bear? I feel like people are in the camp that they love or they hate.
I like those.
But I need to see it again.
I like those because
I do too.
It gets both.
No, I don't know if I do. It sort of reminds me of a Passover candy.
I love those chocolate jelly rings.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chocolate marshmallow.
Jury's out.
Thank you so much, Colleen, for joining us. How can people find you, follow you? Are you taking new patients? What's the situation?
Yeah, so you can follow me at no.food.rules on Instagram, and I'm at ColleenChristensenNutrition.com. And the way that I work with clients, I have a membership. So it's really a community of women. And I felt like that was one of the things that I was missing, was feeling like there's other people to relate to. So I have a membership that opens a couple times a year. You can hop on the waitlist for that and get all the details there.
It's so exciting. And everybody, if you have questions, more questions for Colleen, DM her.
Shoot me a DM.
Shoot her a DM. Follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow. Email us DSC at betches.com. Rate, review, subscribe, follow me at Aileen, follow Sammy at Sammy, and we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbein.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Betches.